fish keeping.
Yeah, I know it's a little geeky, right? It's, you know, it's one of those things. It's fish are dumb pets. I've heard that. Fish are stupid. You know, you can't talk to them. You can't pet them and so forth. But, you know, I've taken a lot of guff over my other hobby, which is bicycling. But I never have fallen off of an aquarium, I can tell you that. It's a very safe hobby. So I decided to take up fish keeping, and I didn't know where to start because I'd never done it before. I really didn't know anybody who had done it. So I just went to one of those big pet supermarkets. You know what I'm talking about? Those big box stores that are filled with every kind of pet you can imagine. I just went there. I found one, and I went there, and it was really kind of a cool experience. For one thing, it was in a beautiful strip mall, kind of in the shape of a U like some are. And right on this corner was the big pet store, and right on the other corner was a Starbucks. So how lucky can you get? So I got a cup of coffee, and I went over this beautiful, well-lit parking lot. And it's like walking into Disney World. Have you been to these places? It's sparkling clean everywhere, and there are all these animals, and the place is just lined with all kinds of pet-keeping stuff. And you have the puppies right behind the glass so that you can't tell how much they stink before you bring them home, right? And they have the kittens, and the place was filled with soccer moms and kids, and they were picking out goldfish and kittens and puppies and petting them and holding them, and they had the birds, you know, the little parakeets, and then the bigger ones, the cockatiels or whatever they're called, and the cacophony of sound. It was really an interesting place to be. So I looked around for a while, looked at the puppies and looked at the kittens and looked at the birds and the lizards, and I found my way over to the fish section. I thought, here, now I'll learn something about fish keeping. I'll get a fish. So I found someone to help me, and you can tell the people, they all wear the same color shirt. It's like a uniform. And this young man came up to help me, and I said, well, I'm interested in getting an aquarium. He said, well, here's what we have right here. There's a 5 gallon, 10 gallon, 20 gallon. There's a 30 gallon. We have some 75 and even 100 gallon tanks. Okay. Well, I'm just getting started. What do you recommend? And he said, well, that's kind of up to you. Okay. Well, I guess I'll take a 10-gallon. So I started with that. And so I guess I need a filter for this. Yeah, you need a filter. So what filter would be the one to get for this tank? He said, well, look on the back. I mean, it says on the back, just, you know. And, well, I'm not getting much help here. So I picked out a bunch of fish. I thought, I'll just get some nice colorful ones, right? That would be the thing to do. So I got the brightest ones, put those in the bag with the water. I took everything home, and I set up the tank, and I got it running, and I fed the fish. And about 4 days later, all my fish were dead. This wasn't off to the best start. I obviously didn't know much about keeping fish, and I was a little discouraged, frankly. And I was talking about it with some friends at church, and one lady overheard me. And she said, well, you know, my husband keeps fish. He's done it for years. In fact, he's got a whole room down in the basement just lined with fish tanks. He even breeds fish. He's really into this hobby. This is great. This is just the kind of information I need. And she said, well, there's only one place in the world he would go to buy fish. There's only one store on earth he would go to. It's up in North Tonawanda, up the far end of the town where we were living. She said, that fish place up there, that's the only place that he would go. I said, great. That's exactly what I need. I want to go there. What's the name of the store? She said, I just told you. It's called The Fish Place. Oh, that's the name, The Fish Place. They sell fish. They call it The Fish Place. Not very creative, right? But, well, I'll give it a try. So I drove up there. And it was about 45 minutes from my house. And I got off the expressway and drove into this town that had seen probably its higher days economically. And the neighborhood was getting a little more run down the further I drove. And I was actually wondering, could I be on the right track here? Would this be like the world's best store on this street? I wasn't so sure that it would be. And I drove further and further and further, and sure enough, I found it, and I parked there across the street, and, you know, I was a little afraid to even get out of my car. This is what I rolled up to. David, if we can have that picture. Think in your mind, though. Think of the pet superstore that I went to. Think of Starbucks across the street, right? Think of all those bright, clean faces and all those soccer moms pushing strollers, and this is what I rolled up to. And I thought, well, maybe there's something across the street. So I looked across the street. There wasn't anything better across the street. I looked down the corner. There was no Walgreens on the corner. I'm out in the middle of nowhere in this town that I've never been to before. And I roll up to this fish place. So I got out of the car, locked my door, and I went in. When I stepped inside that store, it was like stepping into a miracle. The place was lined with beautiful, bright, gleaming tanks from the floor all the way up to the ceiling, teeming with beautiful, colorful fish, saltwater fish, tropical fish, freshwater fish, game fish. They had little itty-bitty teeny fish. They had fish that were this big in there. All kinds of people were in there, too. There were people who looked a lot like me, who probably came from a neighborhood just like mine, and there were people who didn't look anything like me. There were some of the soccer moms pushing the strollers, and there were bikers with tattoos on their necks, and there were people of all different races and economic levels. There were wealthier people. There were people, I could swear to you, were spending their last 25 cents on a goldfish. The store was filled with all different people and all of these different kinds of fish. And I asked a lot of questions, and I got a lot of answers, and I got set up and got my aquarium running, and I had a hobby doing that for several years. I learned something on that trip to the fish store. I learned that there is no such thing as a typical fish keeper. There is no average person who likes fish. There are all kinds of people. People who are just like you and me. People who are as different from you and me as you can possibly imagine. And I applied my thinking about this store. I applied it to the work that I do. The work that we do together in the gospel ministry. And I thought about the church I was then serving. I think about the church that I'm serving now. And this thought came to me. There is no such thing as a typical Christian. There is not one socioeconomic level where the followers of Christ have all congregated. There's not one race of people who are God's people. There's not one geography. There's not one ethnicity. There's not one education level. There's not one anything. Because what we have in common as believers in Christ is not our race, our language. It's not our heritage as Americans. It's not the way we think and process the world and the culture around us. It is that we are followers of Jesus Christ, sinners saved by grace. And when you come to church, sometimes you can begin to get the feeling, and an uncomfortable one, that, you know, I'm not sure if I belong here. Because I really don't fit in as that well with I see other people in the church, maybe on television, you watch church on TV, and you think, I'm not like them. Whatever they are, however they think, whatever their lifestyle is, that's really not who I am. Maybe I just don't belong here. Sometimes we think we have to get our lives in a certain fashion before you can have a relationship with God, right? Because God's people, Christian people, they're the good people. So I could never become one of them until I became sort of like they are. So as soon as I get my life figured out, then maybe I can have a deeper relationship with God. I would like that, but I just don't know that I'm ready for that. I've got this problem at work. My finances are way out of whack. Or I've got this thing with my wife or with my girlfriend. Or I've got this problem with alcohol or something else. And until I get that, once I get straight on that, once I get that figured out, then I think maybe it will be time for me to get working on my relationship with God. I've got to do this first. But there isn't any requirement to walk into that fish place. You don't have to know everything about fish to go there. They'll teach you. All you have to do is to want to be there and to want to learn. There's no requirement to become a Christian other than that you confess your sin to Christ and trust Him for salvation. Paul put it this way. He said in 1 Timothy, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of whom me personally, this person here, I am the worst. We are all together in this thing called faith in Christ. Some of you would know, or you've seen on television perhaps, the 12-step groups. You know what I'm talking about? Alcoholics Anonymous and groups like that. There are a whole number of them. They all begin the same way, right? The person will announce themselves by saying their name and their problem. For example, hi, my name is Bill, and I'm an alcoholic, right? You've heard that or you've seen that on television. This is what it's like to come to Christ. My name is Larry, and I'm a sinner in need of God's redemption. I'm a sinner saved by grace. This is what we have in common. There's no other single thing. Let's not ever reduce Christianity to a social caste. Let's not ever reduce our faith in Christ to a political philosophy. Let's understand that as human beings, as followers of Christ, we're united by one thing alone. We are believers in the God who came to save us. I learned something else at that fish place, something kind of interesting when you think about it. As you think about marketing, some of you work in marketing and sales and things like that, and you try to present your product to others. I learned that it's not about the Starbucks. I learned that it's not about the parking lot. I learned that it's not about having those staff running around all wearing the same color shirt. I learned that selling fish is about the fish. The store works because it's about the fish. People go there because it's about the fish. And you don't have to get a latte in the lobby. It's about the fish. That's why it works. Now, I know they would sell more fish if they had a website, for example. Not a bad thing to do. They would probably sell more fish if they had a place to park. Not a bad thing to do. So it's not wrong to enhance ourselves or enhance what we do. But it's got to be about the fish. Let me put it this way. It's got to be about Jesus. What we do has got to be about Christ. People coming to Him. Not joining us, joining Him. Not being comfortable here, being forgiven for sin. It has to be about Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 12, "If when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." That's all it takes. When I am lifted up, I will do the rest. Make me known to people. That's all you have to do. I will win them to me. Show others what it's like to have a relationship with Christ. That's all you have to do. I'll take it from there. Reveal me to the people around you. I will draw them into the church, into the body, into the fellowship, and to myself. When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. This thing about Jesus, it is so incredible and so powerful, and it's why people like David Crowder reach for those lyrics that push the limits of our understanding. His love is like a hurricane, I am the tree, and His love is an ocean, we're all sinking. It's why we resort, because it's too incredible to describe. This is why the Bible is filled with stories, because I can't tell you about it, I can just show it to you. What it's like to come to Jesus. It's like this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Can you imagine anything more awful than being found out in the moment of your sin? And how shameful that would be. And people brought her to Jesus and hurled her into a public forum. Can you imagine what it would be like to have your darkest moment, the thing that you are most ashamed of and have tried so hard to hide from other people, to have that put on television and used as a political ad to show people that you are the problem with this country? How awful that would be. And here's this woman standing in front of everybody. And they name it aloud. We caught this woman right in the act. What do you think we should do? And Jesus found a way to diffuse the situation and get the crowd to go away, to leave one by one, little by little. And He said to her, "I don't condemn you. You're free now. You don't have to live this way anymore. This is the grace of Jesus Christ." It's like that little man, Zacchaeus. Remember him? This great figure in the Bible that we've made into a little caricature, just a little cartoon that we can tell to children because he was short and because he climbed a tree. And here was a man who made his life on using and exploiting people, who had no friends. Why? Because of his appearance or his stature? Who knows? Certainly because of his profession. This is the guy everybody avoids, but they wants to avoid, but they can't. They have to deal with him because he's a tax collector. They have to come to him, and he makes them pay. This is the person that nobody wants to be around. And Jesus stops And he looks at him and calls him by name and says, come to me. I want you. In fact, I'm coming to your house. We're going to have dinner together. And in a moment, he goes from the outside to the inside. He's wanted and accepted. This is the power of Jesus. This is what we lift up. Like Peter, the disciple. You know, Peter, he was loud and obnoxious, but he was right about a lot of things. He was the one, the first one, really the only one who understood who Jesus was, wasn't he? Jesus said, what do they say about me? What's the buzz out there in the crowd? And people said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say one of the prophets. What do you say? And Peter said, I know who you are. You are the Christ. You're the one. You are the Son of the living God. It was months before that, years before that, when he first met Jesus, the occasion of their coming together and meeting. Remember this time when Peter was fishing all night, had caught nothing? Jesus told him where to fish. He caught many more fish and he understood. He saw it. He said, I get it. I know who you are. When I look at you, I see perfection. I see beauty. I see everything that I've not. And he fell on his face and he said, just go away. Can't take it. I don't want to be around you. Jesus said, no. Stand up. You. I want you. You come with me together. We are going to change the world. This is Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Have you had that moment of coming to Christ? You need forgiveness. You have forgiveness. You need acceptance. You have it. He gives it to you. You need purpose and meaning in your life. Jesus gives it to you. This is what we celebrate. This is what we show to others. This is the heart of who we are. You don't need anything else. You don't need the latte. You don't need the uniform shirt. You don't need to look like me. You don't need to think like me. You don't need to fit in all that realm with everybody here. You just need to come to the one who can fix it. Come to Jesus. One last thought for you on this fish place. You know, I went to that big store, and it was so interesting to look around. So many things, fish, birds, everything you can imagine. And I saw a lot of people doing that, just that. They were looking. They'd look at the fish, and then they'd go look at the birds, and they'd hold a puppy. They said, can I help you? No, we're just looking today. Sometimes a kid would say, hey, can we bring the kitten home? No, we're just looking at the kitten. We're going to leave it here. And a lot of people walked out of that store with nothing. I went to that fish place, and I was there for quite a while. And I went back many, many times. I never saw anyone leave without a fish. You go to the right place, and you get what you need. When you come to Jesus, you won't go away empty-handed. You need forgiveness, you have it. You need acceptance, it's yours. What you are looking for, believe me, trust me, it's here. I'd like to pray with you, and I invite you to stand with me. We bow our heads and we take a moment, reflect before the Lord, look into your heart, and if this is a day for you when you feel like you're walking into the fish store for the first time, when you get it, it dawns on you, you understand it. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you.